Grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who is the living bread from heaven and the one who is our good shepherd with his church today. Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson, the feeding of the 5,000. Let us pray. Lord, you are the good shepherd. Feed your sheep. May we sit down now and enjoy the green pasture of your holy word, soon the sacrament, that we all go home full and satisfied, for we have been with you and have you, and so we have everything. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Watch your manners. Mind your manners. My mom used to say that to me as a little boy, and now my wife says that to me as a big boy, especially when you go to someone's house and you eat at their house. Mind your manners. And what are some of the table manners? Well, don't chew with your mouth open. And don't try to talk when you're chewing your food. And do not make weird noises when you eat, please, that everybody giggles and laughs. And hold your fork or spoon correctly. All table manners. And above all, eat what is set before you. And even if you don't like it, smile and say how good it was. These are all proper table manners when you eat at someone's house. And my topic today is table manners for the Christian church. In our gospel, Jesus is the host of a meal. And what a meal it is. He feeds 5,000 men. You add in the women and children, maybe 20,000. He is the host. He provides the food. And how does the crowd act? This is a good crowd to follow, this crowd in Mark chapter 6. Often in the Bible, don't follow the crowd. This is a crowd that we want to be like. We want to be part of the 5,000, part of the group. For we're with Jesus now. This miracle, as I've said before, is a very important miracle. The famous feeding of the 5,000. You have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those four Gospels, you have some 40 miracles of Jesus recorded. But there are only two miracles that are recorded by all four gospel writers, meaning that we have them four times in the Bible. Matthew writes about it, Mark does, Luke does, and John does. Only two are recorded by all four. One of them is Easter, the resurrection of Jesus. By the way, he is risen. We should say that loudly in the middle of summertime when we're all kind of tired, dog days of summer. And the other miracle mentioned four times is this miracle when Jesus feeds the 5,000. Therefore, it's very important. It's way, way up there in the importance of miracles. Four times the Spirit says, read this miracle, understand what it means. Four times. Well, why is it so important? It's a model of Christian worship. It's an ongoing miracle of the last 2,000 years. For Christ is our good shepherd, and we gather around him, and he does not send us away empty-handed or empty-hearted. But he feeds us, not with bread, but he feeds us his holy word in our ears, the words of eternal life, and not with fish, two fish, but with his body and his blood, living and crucified and powerful and strong, and so we live in him because he lives. And so the good shepherd feeds us, the flock. We may not be 5,000, but he feeds us, and he feeds the church throughout the world with his holy word in the ears, communion in the mouth, that we go home full and satisfied. It's an ongoing miracle of how he multiplies blessings through small little things. And how does the crowd react? Four table manners. How are we to react as we come to church, God's house here? Four table manners, if you will. First of all, when Jesus is here to feed us, don't be late. Be on time, if not even be early. Notice the crowd. The story begins with Jesus and his disciples wanting to get away. They've been very busy. And they want to get away on a little break, and they go to a desolate place to try to get away from the crowds. But notice the crowd. The crowd does not say, well, we'll give Jesus 2 or 3 days. He needs a break. No, they follow on land and they get there to the place before Jesus and the disciples do in a boat. So they're in a boat going there. The crowd kind of knows where they're going. They run on land to the place and they get there before Jesus is even there. They're on time. They're early. They don't wait around. They're not late. They're in a hurry. They have to be with Jesus. They don't want to miss anything. They don't want to miss any time with Jesus. So one table manner we have is come with urgency. Run on your feet here. Drive in your car. Gas is not that much. Fly on a plane to get here. Do anything to get you and your kids here, for Jesus is here. With forgiveness and life and hope and peace that you're not going to get out there. Christ is here. The crowd doesn't go because there's nice scenery. They don't go because there's a nice lake there, the Sea of Galilee. They don't go to see each other. They don't go to see the disciples. They go because Jesus is there. The Good Shepherd, God Himself is there. The Lord of life is there. The way, the truth of life is there. I must go and see Him, for He has life for me. And there's tremendous urgency in this crowd. They're a good crowd. So church is at 10:30, not 10:40. You want to have the invocation of the benediction. Don't want to miss a thing. This is the hour that Christ is here. So on Wednesdays, church is at 6:30, not 6:45. Try to be here on time. Early church is at 8:15, not at 8:20. Try to be here on time. We're patient. We're forgiving. So is God. But be here. Not for me, not for each other, because God is here. You don't want to miss God, do you? In your very presence? You know, I went to the dentist the other day, and I was about 10 minutes late going to my dentist. I had an appointment like 8 in the morning. I got there at 8:10, and I've known my dentist for 15 years. He's done various work, so we kid each other. He knows I'm a minister. And he said, well, Paul, you're late, 10 minutes late. And I said, I wonder why. And he said, well, why? And I said, it's called pain. I don't want to be in pain. You're going to work on my teeth, drill on my teeth. And I really don't like that, so that's why I'm a little late. I'm headed. Who wants to go to the dentist? Sorry, is Brian here today? He's going to be a dentist? Sorry to Brian and any other dentist here. But I don't like pain. And he said, well, I suppose your people don't like to confess their sins to you either, do they? And I said, no, but they hear the absolution from me. Where's your absolution, Mr. Dentist? You know, it's all right. If you're going to be late for the dentist, be late a little bit. Going to be late for the doctor, well, he or she's probably going to be late to take you anyway. Be a little late. I don't care. Be late for whatever. I don't really care. It's not good to be late. But if you're going to be late, I don't care about all that. Don't be late for Jesus. Run on foot. Drive in your car. Take your bicycle. Get on a motorcycle. Hitchhike. I don't care. Fly on a plane. Be here. Invocation and benediction. Because Christ is here. With the word and sacrament for your life. Do you want to go to heaven or not? If you don't, then go to hell, as the Bible would say. You want to have heaven, then come, because the Good Shepherd's here. And bring your kids and your youth and your friends and your neighbors. It's urgent. And yet it seems the people of God in America sleep through it all. After all, we got football coming, don't we? And that's really important. Secondly, another table manner is give thanks. Give thanks for what God gives. And don't gripe and grumble and complain. An amazing little part of this story is that Jesus is given 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and there's thousands of people in front of him. And notice what Jesus does with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He doesn't laugh. How are we going to feed people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? He doesn't complain. This is all you guys could scrounge up here. Come on. But he looks up to heaven and says a blessing. He thanks God for these little meager amounts of food. He thanks God. For he knows what he will do with that food to multiply it to the people. And so there are little things in church that don't look like much. They look like 5 loaves and 2 fish. And how can they possibly help me in the crowd? We have words of absolution, a minister speaks. I forgive you your sins. A few little words. How can that really help me? And we have 3 Bible readings. Of all the stuff out there in this information, we have 3 little Bible readings. We have a 15-minute sermon. How can this really help me in this bombardment of information out there? And then we have bread and wine, a little wafer, a little sip of wine. You're good. How can this, these little bitty things, little bread and fish, how can it help me? Because Christ is here. Christ blesses it. You hear the word of God. It's words of eternal life that actually forgive your sins. Nothing out there will. His word will forgive your sins. His word will strengthen your faith. Nothing out there will. It will here. Even a little bit will. And the bread is not just bread. It's the body of Jesus. And the wine is not just wine. It's the blood of Christ. And this body and this blood has conquered hell for you. It's overcame death and disease and cancer and sickness and pain and agony and suffering, and you receive Him here in your mouth. And so you go home full and satisfied because you have Jesus. And I can face whatever is out there for me. I lose my job, my marriage breaks up, I have cancer, I'm dying. Whatever happens, Chattanooga shootings, whatever happens, I can face it because the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. And I have Him here, and I have Him here. And give thanks. You know, did you see the photos of Pluto this week? I guess we had a spacecraft of some sort fly for like 9.5 years and arrived at Pluto billions of miles away. And scientists are amazed at the photos. They saw icy mountains as big as the Rocky Mountains and chasms 6 times deeper than the Grand Canyon. And awe and wonder from scientists. Look at the photos of Pluto. And we should be in awe and wonder of the creation of God. He made Pluto. But is it all that surprising that on Pluto there's ice and rock? Duh. What else would be there than ice and rock? Okay? But the amazement of Pluto. Where is the amazement of the church at the God who made Pluto? And the God who's not 9.5 years away in a spacecraft, not billions of miles away, but the God who's in our midst, in my ears, in my mouth, and who bestows grace upon me. And where's the awe and the wonder of God's people? And I wonder sometimes, have we lost our awe and our wonder at the love of God who made this entire world and is right here with me and loves me? Think about that, and maybe you have a little thanksgiving in your heart. Maybe a lot of thanksgiving. Another table manner is share the food. Share the food. Pass the bread. Notice how Jesus does the miracle. He doesn't just have the food magically appear in their hands. Oh, I got food in my hands. Let's eat, kid. He doesn't have a Golden Corral buffet style. Here's a whole pile of bread, a whole pile of fish. Come and get it. The Lutherans would have ran first, wouldn't we, Pat? We'd be there first in line. I'm going to get mine. Get the Baptist back there. But rather, he involves the disciples. They have a very important role of distributing the food. And then if you think about it, no doubt the people sitting in hundreds and fifties had to pass it along the group. And this was a major operation to feed 5,000, 10,000, maybe 20,000 people. Think of the operation of feeding these people, of the distribution. Pass the bread, pass the fish, pass the bread, pass the fish. You're all going to get some, just keep passing it. And there's a lesson there. Church, pass the bread. The gospel's not going to magically appear in the ears of your neighbor. Pass the bread of Jesus. Pass the fish of Jesus. Pass the gospel. You've received the love of God in your life. Pass the love on to someone else. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Maybe you'll make him or her your friend. You know the forgiveness of God. You have God's forgiveness. Share forgiveness with other people. And don't hold a grudge and keep and have revenge in your heart. Forgive as God forgives you. You've been shown mercy. Pass mercy on to other people. Who can you show mercy to? You know the word of God. You know the gospel. Pass it on to your neighbor. Invite him or her to church. I think our district has a theme called Each One, Reach One. Which means each person in the church reach someone for Christ. We all want the church to be big and grow. How's it happen? It doesn't happen magically. Well, the doors are open. The people will come. It happens as Christians invite and love and listen and invite some more and teach. And pastors teach and invite. And so my challenge for you is when we come around to July 19, 2016, you have someone in the pew by you that you brought to Jesus. Could be a family member, a friend, an inactive church member who doesn't come anymore. Think about it. Pray about it. Make your list. I'm going to invite them. Not just one. Two or three is even better, but one. And have them in the pew next to you. And say, I was an instrument of God and I passed the bread on. And the church will double. The next year it'll be quadruple what it is. And then finally, the most important table manner is to eat what is set before you. Sit down and eat. Jesus commanded the crowd to sit down in the green grass. And they sat down and they ate. And they probably all thought, what are we going to eat? 5 loaves and 2 fish? Okay, but they did follow the command. They sat down and they ate. They didn't look at it. They didn't nibble. They didn't run off to McDonald's in Galilee. But they sat down and they ate. And they were all satisfied. It's a great, great part of the miracle. They all ate and were satisfied. So church, come and hear the word of God. And come and hear the word of God. And come and hear. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't be thinking about something else. Really mull over and concentrate and mentally and spiritually chew on the word of God and read it in your life and read it some more and have devotions and come to study and come to church and hear the word of God and commune and commune and commune and eat the body and drink the blood. This is your faith. This is your life. This is how you're going to go to heaven. This is Christ. Don't talk about it. Don't make plans to do it, but do it. Hear, eat and drink and partake of the blessings of salvation in the word and sacrament. I love the story of Socrates, the ancient, the old Greek philosopher. The story is told that a young man came to Socrates and said, "Please teach me wisdom. I want to be wise like you." So do you know what Socrates did? He took the young man by the collar, took him out into the ocean, and stuck his head under the water. And held him there for a long time. And when the young man was just about dead, gasping to get out and get some air, he pulled him up. And the young man gasped. He stuck his head under the water again. And just about killed him. Pulled him up. Let him get a few breaths. Stuck him under again. Then finally he drug him up on shore. And the guy's gasping for air, coughing up water. And he said, "Young man, you want wisdom? You need to want wisdom as much as you want air. If you're going to be wise, you got to really want it. Or don't even come looking for it." And we don't need Greek philosophy. It leads to hell. We need the wisdom of the cross and the wisdom of salvation. And we need to want it as much as we want air. Think if we took away oxygen right now. We need to want it as much as we want food. We want water. It is not some option over here that I can get to when I want to. It's not some chocolate cake that maybe I want, maybe I don't want. They have all those other stuff that pleases me better. It's not an option. It's not a luxury. It's not a dessert, the word of God and sacrament. It is our life. It is our oxygen. It's our food, our water. Without it, we die. So come and eat. And come and hear. Ride on your bike. Fly in your plane, run, walk, sweat, come, and bring everyone with you. For this is where the good shepherd is, to feed his flock. All that is death, and here there's life, because Jesus is here. Use your manners, First Lutheran. Use your manners. Be on time. Give thanks for what God gives. Don't complain. Share the bread and come and eat. Amen. We stand.